Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are better than blessed. This is the Inspirational Hour of Faith. I am your host, Michael Hill, and my co-host is Willie. We are thankful to be here once again on this wonderful, wonderful, beautiful Sunday evening. We are so thankful that you was able to join us today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, in spite of what might be going on in our personal life, what we may see on the news, what we may witness in other people's lives that we love and care for. Let's continue to be rejoiceful and be glad of the day that the Lord has made. And he allow us to be partakers of this day, because so many people didn't make it to this Sunday. They was with us last Sunday, but they're not with us this Sunday. So it is truly, truly a blessing when you can look back a week ago and look where God has brought you from, and see that there were so many people that you knew of and that you knew personally, loved ones, that's not here, that was with you last week. So just be thankful that God saw fit to allow you to continue to be living among the land of the dying, because we have so many people dying each and every day. Death is always around us. Death is always present. You can believe that. That the enemy is always lurking, seeking who he may devour on a daily basis. And he has a job. And as believers, we have a job as well. So just be thankful. In spite of what you may be going through, whatever the storm may be, whatever the situation you are facing right now, give God thanks. Give him glory. Give him honor. And praise his holy name. You know, we praise him for because of what he has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to continue to do. But most of all, we worship him because who he is. You know, he is God, and he's God all by himself. We worship him because he is the Savior. You know, he is the Redeemer. He is the salvation of our soul. He is our rock of our salvation. He is our peace. He is our joy. You know, he is our carpenter. He is the chosen one, the chief cornerstone. He is the door, the branch. He is the bread of life. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is Emmanuel. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the wisdom of God. He is the word of God. That's why we worship Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church, the high priest, the apostle. He is the holy one. He is our hope. He is the image of the invisible God. He is Jesus, judge and ruler. He is the faithful and the true witness. He is the eternal Father. That's why we worship Jesus. And it's so many times we see how man worship man more than they worship God. You know, maybe I'm going to talk about a little bit about, you know, how we see men can worship other men, but they won't worship God. The same God that saved their soul, the same God that woke them up this morning, the same God that's with them through the storms of life, the same God that healed them in their body, the same God that make a way out of no way, is the God that they don't worship. But man, because of what man has, because of his wealth, his popularity, who he is in the community, who he is in society, we catch ourselves worshiping man more than we worship God. We shouldn't worship no man, none. But we do. A lot of us do it subconsciously, and a lot of us does it because we want to know the man that know the man. But there's only one man that we should really be trying to know, and that's Jesus Christ himself. Not the man that looks like you and I. Not the man that puts his clothes on like you and I. Not the man that has breath in his body like you and I because of God himself. But we seem to worship man. And we would take a bullet for him. We would fight for him. We would argue for him. We would go to bat for him. We would argue for him. What are we doing for Jesus? What are we doing for Jesus? Do we worship Jesus the way we worship some of these men that we know? Do we worship him? Do we worship him as our God? Do we worship him as our Savior? Do we worship is our salvation of our soul. Do we worship him because he the one gives us peace that surpasses all understanding? Do we worship him because he's our joy, he's our strength, he's our bridge over troubled water, he is our healer, our deliverer? Or do we just say, oh, that's our God, and we go on to heaven? And you only worship him when troubled times come, and when hard times comes, and when storms of life shows up at your doorstep, and when you get a bad phone call in the middle of the night, or a bad doctor report, then we want to worship God. Then we want to call on Jesus. But why we don't call on him in the good times? Why do we don't call him when everything is going good, and the relationship with the wife and the husband and the children and the job and the finances is going well? Why do we don't call on Jesus then? We seem to call on him when trouble shows up. We can't treat Jesus like a genie in a bar. We rub him when we need him. You should need Jesus. You need Jesus every day, and that's how your attitude and your actions should show on a daily basis of who your God really is. Some of us got God, only got a God on Sunday. Some of them got him on Wednesday nights and or Monday. God should be God 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. He should be your God. Don't wait till something happens before you call on God. You should be calling on God every day. Every day you should be thanking him. You should be worshiping him. You should be praising his holy name. You should be giving him honor and glory because of who he is and what he has done in your life. When you look back down through the years, you can see how merciful he has been, how gracious he has been, how the favor of the Lord has been on your life. A lot of us don't know who we are in Christ. Do you know? My question is to all the listeners tonight. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you really know? Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? Do you really know? Have God, have the Holy Spirit gave you that revelation of who you are in Christ? Or do you think you just another Christian that got saved, and when you die, you're going to heaven? That's all you know? Are you walking in the liberty? Are you walking in that power that dwells on the inside of you? Do you know how much power that dwells inside of you? This is just a food for thought for prayer that it encouraged someone that's listening. This is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to through me to this evening. This is what nothing that I plan on speaking today, and this is what how the Holy Spirit just lead and guide me, so I be obedient of how the Holy Spirit. I don't know who needs to hear this evening, but we got to stop worshiping man. We have to stop worshiping man. We serve a jealous God. God is a jealous God, and we can't worship man and God at the same time. We can't do that. Now, if you're going to worship man wholeheartedly. But if you're going to worship God, you got to give him all. Give him your all, not just on Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings or Wednesday night or when you feel that you should worship him and give him honor and glory. He should be bigger than that to you. He should be more important to you than that. Stop treating God like a genie. Father, we thank you for tonight's show. We bless you, we magnify you, we exalt you. You're truly worthy to be praised. We give you all the honor, glory, and the praise, because, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you for who you are. You're God and God all by yourself. Father God, you are the Lord who sacrifices. You are the Lord of our soul. You are the shepherd. You are the host. You are the peace. You are the righteous one. Father, you are the bright and morning star. You are the bridegroom, the bread of life, the branch to be loved, the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the chosen one. You are the door. You are Emmanuel, God with us. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you tonight. We magnify you and we exalt you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you tonight. We welcome you tonight on these airways, on the internet, that you will have your way. We surrender our all unto you this evening in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to forgive us for any sins that we may have said, done, or even thought of this day or any day in the past. We ask you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness for your name's sake, sins of knowingly and unknowingly. Father, we ask you to search our hearts, Father God, like never before. We ask you to search our minds like never before in the name of Jesus. Father, anything, I mean anything that's in our hearts that's not of you, I don't care what it is, Father God, we counsel it, we bind it up in Jesus' name. Father God, we ask you right now with the power and authority by the Holy Ghost that you will have your way tonight. We decrease while you increase. Holy Spirit, we come with an expectation tonight. We remove self out the equation. And Father God, we ask you to show up and show out. We pray for deliverance, salvation, healing right now. We pray, Father God, that you will move like you never moved before, that men and women will be changed, Father God, from their mind to their soul, that we will be a different child of God after tonight than we was prior to getting on the show. So, Father God, we surrender our all unto you, Father God, that you will have your way. Father God, you will continue to be that bridge over troubled water. You will continue to be that lily of the valley, that bread of life. You will continue to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end. Father God, you sit high and you look low, Father God. You have given us your word, our roadmap, Father God, for this life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are gone, and behold, all things become new. Change us from the inside out, Father God. Continue to soften our hearts, Father God. Continue to pour love in us where we can pour love into others, Father God. Let us love one another, Father God, with the love of Christ, unconditionally, with no strings attached. Father God, give us, Father God, the power to continue to walk this walk and to talk this talk, not just on Sundays, Father God, but all through the week, Father God, that you will be glorified through the earth realm, through our lifestyle, that we might be the light of the world. We might be the only Jesus that someone may meet. We might be the only Bible that someone may read. Father God, don't let our lifestyle be a hindrance to the unbelievers. Don't let our lifestyle be a black eye to Jesus Christ, that men and women will look at us and be ashamed of being a Christian because of our character, because of our actions, and because of how we carry on a daily and weekly basis, even in our homes, in front of our children, Father God. Allow us to be that man of God and that woman of God in front of our children, Lord. Let them see us treat our spouses the way Jesus wanted us to treat them, Father God, with love, unconditional love, that husbands will love their wives as Christ loved the church. Let us be that example, Father God, even in the workplace, Father God, even on our jobs, Father God, in front of our coworkers and our supervisors, Father God, that they will see a difference in us, Father God, that we will be separated, Father God, because who we are in Christ. So, Father, we thank you tonight. Father God, we pray for anyone that lost loved ones this past week that you will comfort the families, Father God, in Jesus' name. Father God, you will heal them, Father God, in Jesus' name. You will comfort them, Father God, in Jesus' name. And so, Father God, we thank you, Father God, even right now in advance, Father God, we thank you, Father God, for all the things that you have done in the past, for all the things you're doing right now, and even all the things you're going to do in the future, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. I know sometimes we do a lot of complaining and murmuring and things of that nature, Father God. But, Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for breath in our body. We thank you for waking us up in our right mind. We thank you for food on the table, clothes on our back. We thank you for a roof over our head. It might not be the food that we desire to have. It might not be the clothes we desire. It might not be the home we desire. But, Father, we thank you even right now, Father. We thank you for making a way out of nowhere. We cast all our cares upon you this day in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We know, Father God, there's so many people that would love to trade places with us today. But, Father, I thank you for my situation, and I pray that everyone on the phone, under the sound of my voice, would thank you for their situation, because it could be worse. It could be worse. So, Father God, we give you all the honor and glory tonight, Father God, that you will move by your Spirit. You will show up in a mighty way, Lord. And we so heavily give you all the praise, honor, and the glory, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen and amen. Brother Willie, how you doing this evening?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. I've been hearing you keep on preaching now. I've been doing great. But I got a couple things I want to say right quick before you get started. I want to thank your wife for one thing. I want to thank your wife, and I'm glad to know that she had another birthday. I want to thank her, but I want to thank her for that song, Better Than Blessed. Every time I start doing something I don't supposed to do, I kind of throw that song on in and put me in the right frame of mind. But I do need your blessings this week, because I've been backsliding. I've been backsliding on some of my cursing. I've been backsliding on my cursing, but I've been uplifting on catching my tongue. I've been uplifting on catching my tongue. Some of the things I say, I haven't caught myself knowing I shouldn't say it, but I do need some help on that. And I don't know the answer to your question that you asked tonight, Mike. So I'm gonna have to ask myself within myself the question you asked tonight. I don't know where I'm at right now. I don't know.
Amen, amen. Well, I thank you. I thank you for your honesty. You know what I'm saying, and that's what it's all about. Being honest with yourself, not being honest with me or the listeners. Being honest with yourself, and that's where it all starts. At every believer must be honest within themselves, and you must be able. Everyone, I'm not pointing the finger at you, but everyone must be able to diagnose where they're at. Where are they at in Christ? Some of us are still babes. Some of us are a little mature than others. And some of us just some of us ain't babes. Some of us are still unbelievers. We think we saved, but we really ain't saved. We think we have a relationship with Christ, but we really don't. And that's what people need to ask themselves. Do you know for sure, under a reasonable doubt, that if you wish to die today, you're going to spend eternity with Christ? Do you know beyond a reasonable doubt? And that's what we all need to be at right now, is to know. For sure, you must know, under reasonable doubt, where you're going to spend eternity at. You know, we still maturing in Christ, each and every one of us are still learning. We are still growing. We still make mistakes. We still fall short. God knows all of that. In spite of all that, you must know who you are in Christ. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, the enemy will beat you upside the head every day, 24/7, up and down the street, back and forth. You will never have no peace. You will never get no breakthrough. You will always complain. You will always murmur. You will always point the finger. You will always not accept your responsibility in your actions. We must know who we are in Christ. And when you get that revelation, I guarantee you, your maturity will take off, because you will walk around knowing who you are in Christ, knowing the power that dwells inside of you, knowing that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in every believer, knowing that you have the power to set your own destiny. It's just like your kids. A kid is so confident when they're around their parents. A son is so confident when he is around his father, because he's fearless. He knows that his father is going to protect him. He knows his father has his back. He knows his father is going to make a way out of no way. He knows when he tells his father that he's hungry, his father going to make sure he eats. He knows when he tells his father that he don't feel good, his father going to make provision to make sure he feel good. He knows that when he has issues in school and he tells his father's going to address it. It's the same way with God. We have to know who we are in God. Just like a child know who he is with his parents. My kids know who their father is. And they know what their father is capable of doing and providing for them. That's why they come to me. We must have the same kind of relationship with our Father God in heaven. We must know that he's above all the gods, that he's above everything. We must have that confidence. You have to have that kind of confidence in God. You have to. The same way we put confidence in man, and a lot of us put more confidence in men than we do God. And we got to reverse that, to reverse that. Stop putting your confidence in man, because man will fail you every time. Yeah, you may can count on them today. You may can count on them tomorrow. You may can count on them 6 months from now, maybe a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. But one day, man is going to fail you. And because you put all your trust in man, he's going to break your heart. Don't put your trust, all your trust in man. Your trust goes in God. Because man will fail you. It's been proven year after year. Over 2,000 years ago, when we read the Bible, how man had failed. And man will fail you. Don't put all your trust in man. All your trust goes in God. Because when man fail you, there's only one person going to be there for you, and that's God himself. Know who you are in Christ. It's on you, Willie. It's on you.
Amen, brother. Amen. Brother Brandon, your mic is open. Brother Brandon, your mic is open. Brother Brandon.
Hey, Brother Will, give me a few minutes. I got a lot of facts.
Why we hit the one button when we can't talk? Brother Butcher, your mic is open. Brother Butcher, your mic is open.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Willie. How you guys doing?
Wonderful, Brother Butcher.
Well, thank you. I want to thank you, Mike, for coming out to my son Severus and speaking. That was very, very great of you. I'm happy to know because I'm having a good time. I'm getting better. It's been kind of rough, you know, but I know that God is by my side, and I know he's going to make a way for me. So I just want to say thank you and keep in your prayers. Thank you.
Amen, Brother Butchie. Just remember that God is able, Brother Butchie. You know, we are still praying for you and your family and the loss of your son. Ryan was a young man, and what really made me start rejoicing when I heard that he had a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the greatest news that I have heard in this ordeal about Ryan passing away. You know, I know a lot of times we want people, you know, we don't understand certain deaths. We don't know why certain people leave us early. Then we expect them that they should, you know. But one thing about it, you know, you can rejoice, Brother Butchie, that your son had a love relationship with Jesus Christ, and that means that he's in a way better place than he was here on earth. You know what I'm saying? And he's in great hands because of his love relationship with Jesus Christ. So I was so excited to hear that he had a love relationship with Jesus Christ. I my soul just started rejoicing. So I wanted to encourage you, Brother Butchie, and we will continue to keep you and your family in our prayers, that God will continue to give you peace in this time of the loss of your son. And just be encouraged, my brother, and remember to never forget that God is able. He is able, Brother Butchie. So love you, man, with the love of Christ, and continue to be blessed, Butchie.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Amen.
All right. We love you too, Brother Butcher. We love you too, Brother Butcher. And stay strong, brother. We love you, man.
I will.
All righty. All righty. Brother Maul, your mic is open. Brother Maul, your mic is open. Brother Maul.
What's going on, Mike? How you doing, brother?
Hey, Brother Maul. Wonderful in yourself.
Man, I'm just chilling, man, watching a little football, man. You're hitting the rat on the head today, man, because I don't like men worshipers, Mike. I really don't, you know, especially when guys, where they all tough and this and that, but what they turn around and worship a man because he got more money, bigger house, more women or whatever, Mike. You hit it right on the head, man. That been sitting on me for a while, Mike, men worshiper, you know. Some people got a problem with you talking about God, but they say they believe in God, and some, but they don't have a problem talking about a certain man because they sort of, you know, they sort of like wish they had what that man got, but instead of worshiping the most important man, they choose to worship a man in flesh, you know, that at the end of the day, when he die, it's nothing, you know. You should worship the one that wake you up every morning, Mike. And you know, that's you hit it on the head today, boy. I ain't gonna lie to you. You hit it on the head today. And I see a lot of it out here, Mike. Whether it's for money, for fame, or whatever. You got a lot of men. You got a lot of men worship women too that worship other women or men or whatever. But you talking on a good topic today. So I hope you lay it all out on the line, and hopefully you can touch some people and get through some people or whatever, because I know a lot of – it's some men out here that are worship a person so much to they'll take all kind of criticism and nasty talk or whatever because they feel like they – you know, feel like that person is better than them. Obviously, that's what it's got to be. You know, you want to be that person, but, you know, I don't want to be – I'm cool with who I am, Mike. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I fall short of it sometime, bro. I'm not going to lie to you, but I'm a work in progress, and I'm not perfect. But so I can take fault in that, too. I've been that person. But, you know, I sit back and observe a lot, and, you know, so I feel what you're saying, man. But it's a lot of people – it's amazing that a person will sit there and worship a person that talk to them like they nothing, but they won't even worship the God that wake them up in the morning. They give them breath in their chest every morning, Mike. But go ahead with the show, man. I don't want to take over. I sound like Sister Jean over here. I'm going on mute.
Hey, amen, amen, amen. I appreciate that, Brother Maul. Appreciate that, yeah, you know, that's what it's come down to, Brother Maul. You know, that's what it come down to, you know. And I have, prior to me being saved, I used to see a lot of that. You know, men that have materialistic stuff, you know, they can get away with a lot of stuff in other men's eyesight. They can do wrong, and they can treat people wrong, and because of who they are, you know what I'm saying, the money they have, the materialistic stuff they have, you know what I'm saying, they can get away with it. But a person that have way less than that, you know what I'm saying, they can't get away with nothing. They can't say the wrong thing to them. They can't cross them out any kind of way, disrespect them in any kind of way, you know. But a man that got so much more in their eyesight, materialistic things, or who they is in the community or whatever it may be, you know, they can get away with anything. They can talk to them any kind of way. They can say anything out the way to them. You know, so it's sad, man. It seems like it's getting worse and worse, you know. And we are not, as people of God, we are not worshiping the one man, the man named Jesus Christ. You know, we're not worshiping him like we should. You know, we're worshiping a man that put his pants on like we do, or women worshiping women, or men worshiping women, whatever it may be. But, you know, it has to stop, man. It has to stop. You know, it definitely has to stop. So I thank you, Brother Maul, for that, and I pray that that everyone got something out of that. You know what I'm saying? I pray that that revelation, a light clicked on in their head, and they realize if you're a worshiping man, that today is your last day. You know, you from this day forward, you're going to start worshiping God, the same God that saved your soul, the same God that wakes you up every day, the same God make a way out of no way. That's the person that we need to be worshiping, not man. Not man. We can honor a man, you know what I'm saying, but worshiping him, that's some dangerous territory. So I thank you, Brother Maul, and I appreciate you, my brother.
Amen. Amen. Sister Chris, good evening. How you doing, Sister Chris?
Oh, okay, Brother Willie. How you doing today? And Mike,
amen.
How you doing? God is good.
Wonderful.
God is good.
No, chicken
I'm just
good.
Happy
chicken
that
good.
In my soul that he's given me another Sunday to listen at the message. And Mike, things you're saying are very true. We always look up to something that we should look up to. We should be looking up to God. And that's what I'm looking up to. That's why my soul is happy today that he has given me another Sunday to listen at the message. And with that said, I'm going on mute.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Sister Chris. Appreciate you.
Amen. Brother Mike, before I go back to Brother Brandon, your mother had her hand up and she took it down. So, Mother Hill, did you want to say something? She had her hand up and she took it down, Brother Mike. You want me to go back and get her?
Okay, don't worry about it. No, don't open the mic up. If she want her mic open up, she'd press the one button again. She might have to go to a bathroom break or something. So, if she
amen.
If she want to get on, she'd press the one button.
Okay, here she is. She's back. Come on, Mom. Your mic is open, Mother Hill. Come on in.
Good afternoon. How is everyone? First of all,
hey,
I want to give thanks
Mom.
To God. Thank you. I want to thank God for the storm that I have been going through. My storm has moved, and I came out. His hands have been on me, and I knew he could if he was sought. And I really tried to say prayer for and sought him at all times, but sometimes I get in my own way. So I just want to thank all the prayers I have received and thanking God for carrying me and touching me through it all. So I'll keep listening. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mom. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Love you.
You're welcome. Love you, too.
Amen. Amen. Let me go back over here and see if Brother Brandon ready. Brother Brandon. Brother Brandon, are you free yet? Okay, Brother Brandon might be still tied up. Brother Mike, we have no more hands up, but all I want to say is I'm like Brother Maul, but I know Sister Jean. Uh-oh, I was just going to say, I know Sister Jean will get what he said, and as soon as I said that, Sister Jean hit the one, but Brother Maul did say some good stuff, man, and I'm going to say it like I said, now I understand how come Sister Jean, we might want to call a long-winded, but I understand, just like Maul, he was finna get long-winded just like me. If the spirit hits you, Mike, we can't help it. We just have to keep on going, brother. That's all I can say. That's all I can say, Brother Mike.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Sister Jen. Come on in here, Sister Jen.
How y'all doing? Y'all got jokes tonight. Well, first I want to say, Willie, I'm impressed. What you said earlier, you really shocked me. I know I was giving you business the other day, too, but because we are our brother's keepers. And I know it's tough, and I know you were picking at me because I tuned into your show the other night. It was just funny. I was bored. I have no internet, no DirecTV because it's been out since we had this hurricane. So I get bored. So I was listening, and Emily wanted to chime in, so I two-wayed her into your show. You know, like I said, I used to be right there in the middle of all the drag racers when I was married to Emily's dad and haven't been around it that much since we've been divorced. And I know it's tough because I find myself sometimes when I get around certain people, yes, I'll have a mouth of a sailor and I don't realize that I'm doing it because that's what you're used to doing when you're around these people and you want to fit in, you don't want to be different. But sometimes you can be different. And like when I was being funny, which I deleted it all, but I was just saying little funny comments on your wall about what people were saying, and, but I never had to cuss, and I know that's hard. It's hard for me sometimes, especially when I get mad. But then sometimes even when you're not mad, it's just so easy when you're in that environment and you're around different things, and it's hard, and we forget. We come here on Sundays, and everybody had raced, and we talk about prayer and how important it is. And I just, and I know most of the people on the airways are racers or fans or drivers of these cars, but I just wanted to ask everybody a question and take to heart as I was listening to Willie and Brother Mike and Brother Maul talking. How many of you that drive these race cars, before you strapped yourself in and you went down that track this weekend, did you pray for your safety? Did you pray for your crew helping you? Did you pray before you got them trailers loaded and hit the road? Did you pray coming back for your safe travels? Did you let God be in control of what was going on? And just your environment. And did you just ask him to cover you with protection? If not, then I challenge y'all this week. If you go test and tune in or you are racing again, I challenge you to do that every time and see the changes it makes in your own life. And there's a 90% chance I'm going to Orlando, and I'll probably see a lot of you guys. And I'm going to have some challenges for y'all because I'm going to step it up, and I'm going to walk in faith. And y'all may think I'm crazy, but I'm coming looking for you. It's time to make a stand for God, and it's up to us to do it. It doesn't matter if you race or not. My daddy was a circle track racer in Germany when he was in the Army. I've been a racing all my life. I know how it is. I've been in people's face. I've used language I shouldn't have. Some of the people I was listening to the other night, I've been in their grill before, sticking up for Brian because little Mo, because he's more cool than me. I'm hot-headed. And so I know what it's like. But you can make a difference. And if you truly love God and you're not going to deny him, I challenge you to step it up a pace. And that's all I got to say.
Amen. Brother Mike.
Amen. Brother Mike. Thank you, Sister Jan. Appreciate. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. Thank you, Sister Jan. We appreciate that. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about being accountable. And that's one thing man don't want to be. Man don't want to be accountable to another man. And as children of God, we must hold each other accountable. That helps us grow. You know, believe it or not, when another man holds you accountable or you hold another brother or sister accountable, that helps you grow in God. You know what I'm saying? It's not to beat you down. It's not, you know what I'm saying, to criticize you, to point out your faults, your shortcomings. But it's to encourage you, and I say that all the time, that we need to start encouraging each other to do better. You know, you don't have to tell a person all the time that he's doing wrong. They already know they're doing wrong. You know, they might not admit it, but if the Holy Spirit dwells in you and you truly have a love relationship with Jesus Christ, you know when you have done wrong. No one has to tell you you've done wrong. You know that. So we as believers must continue to hold one another accountable. We must encourage one another to do better. Stop doing some of the things that's not pleasing in God's eyesight. You know, stop doing the things that's hindering us from furthering the kingdom in the earth realm. You know, we don't want to be a hindrance to no one who may come into the faith. We don't want to be the reason why people say, you know what, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to have nothing to do with Jesus because of this person or because of that person or because of what this person said or because of this person, what he has done or what she has done. People will use that with an excuse, and we have to remove all excuses for unbelievers. We can't give them an excuse because in the day of judgment, you know what I'm saying, it's not going to be no excuses. When the day of judgment is coming, it's coming. Judgment is coming. It's coming for the believers, and it's coming for the unbelievers. And we don't want to be that person that gave them an excuse why they wouldn't serve God and serve him wholeheartedly. So we have to be mindful of the things that we say, the things that we do, because people are watching. Whether you believe it or not,
And with this social media, man, people are paying attention. You'd be surprised who watching what you say on your Facebook page, who listening to you on these shows. They might have never pressed a one button. You might have never met them in their life, but they sitting back judging, you know. And we should we shouldn't judge in our own strength. We should judge according to the word of God. Don't judge your brother or your sister on your in your own philosophy or your own judgment, but we can judge each other according to the word of God. That's our judgment right there. What do the word say about what you're doing? Not what I think you should be doing or not should be doing, but what do the Bible say? That's our final authority, what the Bible say. Not what man say, but what the word says. And we just got to be mindful. We all got areas in our life that we must grow in. You know what I'm saying? But the main thing, we got to encourage each other. Encourage each other. And we have to have our brothers and our sisters back. And when we fall short, you know what I'm saying? Just like a coach, you know what I'm saying? When a player on a team make a mistake, you know what I'm saying? A coach don't supposed to beat him down and think he's going to say, you know what? You'll do better next time and root them on and cheer them on. That's what a coach does, and that's what a mentor does, and that's what a brother or sister in Christ does. It should root and encourage our brothers and sisters in the faith. They don't need to be beat down. The world is doing enough of that. The news is doing enough of that. The devil is doing enough of that. Our flesh is doing enough of that. It don't need no help. You don't need no help of beating our brothers and our sisters down. We need to encourage one another in spite of our faults, because at one time in our life, we was where they was at in their maturity. We was babes in Christ, and we were struggling with this thing, and we was cussing all the time, and we was falling short all the time, and we was living in sin all the time, and we was doing the wrong things all the time. What about us when we was in that same state? Did we want people to keep badging us? Did we want people to continue to keep tearing us down? No. That's why so many people have walked away from the church, because the church, instead of being a hospital and being a place where you can get taken care of and being encouraged, they want to beat you down with the Bible. People already know they're doing wrong. You ain't got to beat them over their head and tell them they're doing wrong. They already know they're sinning. They don't know. It's like your kid. When your kid do wrong, they already know they did wrong. They already know they did wrong. So let's encourage each other. Let's be that vessel in the earth realm that when the day of judgment comes, God will say that he's pleased, that I'm pleased with you, my child. I'm pleased what you did with the gifts and the callings that I given you in the earth realm, that we was a blessing to someone. Be a blessing to someone, not a curse, not a hindrance, but be a blessing to someone. How many of us this week have told somebody about God? How many of us has been a blessing to somebody this week? How many of us? How many of us told somebody that wasn't your family member that you love them or you thinking about them and God blessed them and you praying for them? How many of us have done that this week? What are you doing with the gifts that God has blessed you with? Are you sitting on them? Are you just keeping them for yourself? What are you doing with them? Are you being a blessing to others? We have to stop being so selfish and so self-centered. It's not about us. It's not about I. God has given you gifts and talents to be a blessing to others. Let's be that blessing. If you haven't blessed no one last week, this is a new week. Tell somebody that God loves them. Tell somebody you love them. Encourage somebody. We don't need to be tearing each other down. It's enough of that going on. It's enough of that going on in the world, tearing each other down. People are killing each other with their tongue, with violence. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. Remember that. If you're not speaking life, you're speaking death. So just be encouraged. Just be encouraged. Any more hands up, Willie?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Charles, your mic is open. Brother Charles, your mic is open.
Praise God, my brothers. How you guys doing tonight?
Amen.
Hey, Mike, you're speaking the truth tonight. I can relate to a lot of the things that you're saying. On my job, I'm constantly talking with guys about God, and some of the guys think I'm crazy. But I mean, but I know I'm not crazy. But I mean, hey, you know, it's just my way of trying to keep that light on for somebody that might want to try to, you know, try to regain that love relationship with Jesus Christ and God. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are afraid to talk about God, but when you open the door, then they'll walk through the door and talk with you. You know, so I mean, I try to, you know, maintain an upbeat tempo at work. Guys that I see at work, you know, I'm constantly talking with them about this and stuff, because I see where the job is taking hold of them, and they always they're looking at that mighty dollar, you know. So you got to maintain a balance there. But I just want to say you're doing a great job tonight, touching on a lot of things that people need to hear. You're getting on that scooter again. I like that. And let's keep it going. I want to thank you and Willie again for having the show. I love you guys. And let's keep God in the forefront.
Amen, amen. Appreciate you, Brother Charles. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate your friendship. Appreciate who you are in Christ. Appreciate your lifestyle. You know, and like I said, it's truly a blessing. You know, it's truly a blessing. You know, and me and Brother Charles, we talk every day, and you know, and Charles, you know what I'm saying, I know sometimes, you know, people might rub him the wrong way, and he might want to let a cuss word slip out, but he catches himself every time. You know, he catches himself every time. You know what I'm saying, and I appreciate him. You know, I appreciate him for being him. You know what I'm saying, he don't be trying to be fake. You know, he don't try to put on this facade like he holier than thou and try to pretend in front of me. You know, I see the real Charles on a daily basis. I can appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? I can appreciate that, and I can see his growth. I can see his maturity. You know what I'm saying? From last year, you know what I'm saying, how he's continued to grow and progress in God on a daily basis, and that means a lot. You know what I'm saying? But I know it comes from, you know, the Bible say iron sharpens iron, and men should sharpen men. And that's because, you know, we conversate on a daily basis, and we talk all the time, and we encourage each other, and that helps us get sharper in God and make us better men for our society, better men, fathers, and husbands, and things of that nature. Because we're always sharpening each other like metal sharpened metal. You know, we continue to go back and forth and encourage each other. And that's what you need in your life. You need someone in your life that can encourage you. You need someone in your life that can build you up and that can be real with you. You don't need no one to be being fake. You don't need no one that every time you call them and they call you, it's all negativity. You know, that's all they got to come out of their mouth is negativity. You don't need that. You don't need that. You need to be encouraged. You need to hear positive things on a daily basis. That's what helps you grow in God. That's what helps you grow. Constantly hanging around. If you're a recovering addict and you're going back to the dope house, even though you're off drugs, you've been clean for 6 months or a year, you're going back to the dope house, you're hanging back with the dope fiends, you're steady sitting around, you're still indulging them, you think you're going to encourage them, or they're going to start encouraging you? They're going to start back encouraging you or going back to where God delivered you from, the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Who encouraging who? Is the world encouraging you, or you are encouraging the world? Who got the most pull on you? Is the world pulling on you more than God is pulling on you? You got to surround yourself with like-minded people. You gotta surround people that have the same mindset, that's trying to get to the same place that you're trying to get to, which is heaven. You gotta surround yourself. I ain't saying that all your friends gotta be holy and thou, and all your friends gotta be Christians. No, 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 no. That's being spooky. That's being unreal and untruthful. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have friends and associates that don't have a love relationship with Jesus Christ. But my question is, are there more influence on you, or you are more influence on them? That's the difference right there. Who influencing who? Now, if they're influencing you, then you got a problem. But if you're influencing them, then that's okay. You know what I'm saying? That's okay. I don't worry about people cussing. You know what I'm saying? If they know who I am, and they see them, and this brother ain't never cussed. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them won't even cuss. They catch themselves. You know what I'm saying? Or if they do cuss, I'm sorry, I apologize. You know what I'm saying? Because they respect who I am. But if you back and forth with them, you cussing, they cussing. You know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna never get them to stop cussing, because you ain't gonna stop cussing because every time they cuss, you cuss. Every time you say something negative, they say something negative. There's no one building no one up in that relationship. No one, you know. So we gotta be mindful of that. So I thank you, Brother Charles. We got anybody else, Willie?
Well, no, I'm glad you said that. But I got a special request, if possible, Mike. It might not be possible, but if possible, I got a special request. Instead of me playing a song sometime during the broadcast, it's been a request that your wife sing a song, man. It's been a request that your wife sing a song.
Let me see where my wife at. Sweetie, if you're on the, I know she was listening. I don't know if she's getting the kids ready. Yeah, I know she's listening.
I'm just saying if possible. If she can, she can. If she can't, okay, We'll go on. I'm just saying that. I just got to, that's what the request coming through, Brother Mike. But if not, though, what you just said about friends cussing friends, I mean, you know, me and Stanley, we got into a little heated argument, and I know I was wrong about certain things, and I just want to ask for forgiveness for that, too, Brother Mike. But other than that, though, it's no more hands up, and just continue to pray for me, because, like I said, I did a little backsliding this week, and so, like Sister Jen said, and she kind of, you know, we was going back and forth, but she got me on the right track, and I think we're not perfect, so that just let me know we are a work in progress, like Brother Maul was saying, and hey, man, that means we're human, but his Brother Stanley now, so maybe his Brother Stanley is. Brother Stanley, go ahead, I'm rattling. Go ahead, Brother Stanley, your mic is open.
Good evening, Willie. Good evening, Mike Hill, and to the everyone that's listening. Powerful words you were speaking, Mike Hill, and it touched me, and praying that it touched a friend of mine, too, because like Willie said, me and him had some things that we said to one another. But like most people know, sooner or later, me and him both will work it out. And what you said was real powerful, man. It was hitting hard at me. And, you know, sometimes you got to know when you're wrong enough to, you know, to fix the problem. And, you know, I'm kind of glad that you said what you said, because it made me reflect a little deeper. And, you know, the Lord wants us to forgive each other, because he knows that, you know, living and trying to go through life is tough, you know. And sometimes there are going to be ups and downs and things you go through with your family and friends that once you get a chance to reflect on it, you know, you hate it ever happened, you know, and it should have never happened. So I apologize for my portion of that with Willie too. So I just wanted to say that, and you know, and I thank God for the word tonight, and looking forward to hearing more, and I really appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, man, thank you, Brother Stanley. We appreciate you as well. You know, like I say, man, the world wants y'all to be at odds with each other. The world wants y'all to be cussing each other out. You know what I'm saying? That's what they want. You know, they gonna laugh. They gonna root y'all on. You know, ain't nobody gonna step up and say, man, y'all shouldn't be doing this. Then no one step up and say, y'all shouldn't be doing this. And if they did, I didn't hear it. But you know that's what they want. You know what I'm saying? They wanna tear what God has built up between you and Willie. They want the enemy to come in between that and tear that down. That all those years of building that relationship to get it to where the level you guys are at, you know. So just be mindful, you know, when someone says something that's not That's not right. You know what I'm saying? Somebody got to gurgle their tongue. Somebody got to say, you know what? I'm not going to say it. I wait after the show and call a brother and we can discuss it. Somebody got to be the bigger person, you know? So, like I say, y'all friendship is bigger than that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all brothers in Christ. You know what I'm saying? Y'all brothers in Christ for the most part. That's the most important part right there. Y'all are brothers in Christ, you know? And so I appreciate both of you all's honesty. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, we all make mistakes, you know what I'm saying? But the one thing about it, you know, let's grow from it. You know what I'm saying? Let's use as a stepping stone to be able to grow from it. And we can look back, you know, a year from now and say, man, that situation I had with my brother allowed me to get to where I'm at now. You know what I'm saying? Because of that situation. So let's learn from it, move on from it. And like I say, man, continue to love each other. You know what I'm saying? Because God said that love covers a multitude of sin. You know, it covers the multitude of sin. It covers your brother's faults. It covers your brother's shortcomings. It covers your brother's mistakes. You know what I'm saying? It covers his mishaps and when he don't do the things that he should do. Your love covers all of that. Vice versa, his love covers also your shortcomings and your mistakes and your faults and the things when you don't get it right, when you miss the mark and when you fall short all the time. And his love covers that. That's what love does. Love covers all of that. You know, it don't pick that out and throw it in your face and tell you you're wrong and hold it against you. Love don't do that. You know, love does not do that. Love covers the multitude of sin. It covers all your brother's shortcomings and all his faults and all his mistakes. That's what love do. Love is greater than any hate, any bickering and backbiting and any shortcomings. Love is powerful. Love showed itself over 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross for you and I. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We weren't worthy of it. But in spite of all what we have done, God still loved us and sent his only begotten son to die for a wretch like us. When we was living our sin and on our way to hell and enjoying the ride, God died for each and every one of us. That's how powerful love is, you know. Would a strange man die for another strange man? I don't think so. We might die for a loved one. We might. Some of us might. Some of us so selfish and so self-centered, we be like, you know, I love my life. You know what I'm saying? Kill him. I don't care nothing about him. Let him die. I'm not going to save him. I'm not going to give him a kidney or I'm not going to give him a blood transfusion. Some of us might be that selfish. But love is bigger than that. Love is God. That's all you got to remember. Love is God. You know, and we got to love one another, man. We got to increase. I say it all the time. We got to increase our love walk on a daily basis and work on our love walk. If we work on our love walk, man, we'll be better men, better women, better husbands and fathers and uncles and grandfathers and things of that nature, nephews. We be better people in the earth realm if we continue to increase our love walk. Amen. You got anybody else, Willie?
Amen, my brother. No, brother Mike. We got nobody else. No more hands up. So it's on you, brother Mike.
Okay, I'm just gonna share a few things with you, and then we my wife say she just.
I'm sorry. Your wife just hit your wife just hit the one button. Sister here, your mic is open. Sister here.
I just didn't want to know whether or not you wanted me to do it after the service or before, so just let me know.
All right, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
We got another hand up, Brother Mike. Got another hand. 708-5800. Your mic is open.
God bless you, Brother William, Reverend Mike. This is Brother Brian. If I'm listening, call to support the show.
Hey, stranger, we ain't heard this voice in a long time. Oh, hallelujah.
God bless
hallelujah.
You.
Hey, God bless you, too.
Well,
hey,
thank you,
brother.
It's been everything you're doing and blessing us, and I'm just calling. I need a word of encouragement, so I'm just listening.
Amen. Appreciate you, Brother Smitty. Appreciate you. Amen, amen. That's brother Smitty. That's Butchie's brother. Been knowing them guys for a long, long time, man. And I appreciate them, man. Like you said, Ryan was brother Smitty's nephew, you know. And So like I say, that's a tragedy right there, man, for a young man to be here one day and gone the next, you know what I'm saying? But thank God that he had a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. Tonight I just want to talk about something real quick, and we're going to get on off here. We ain't going to hold you too much longer. Appreciate everybody being patient. Thank you for all your support. It's truly a blessing. Tonight I want to talk about supernatural faith from God. There are two kinds of faith that God wants to let us see. And I'm not talking about natural things, but divine ones. There is a natural faith, and there is a saving faith. The saving faith is the gift of God. All people are born with a natural kind of faith. What I mean about a natural kind of faith? There's a faith that we walk in daily, a natural faith. When we they say, for instance, if you go to a restaurant and you pull the chair out and you sit down in the chair without even seeing will the chair hold you up. That's a natural faith. You know, you don't pull a chair out and you shake the arm and you shake the leg to make sure that it's sturdy, that it will hold you up if you sit down. No, you grab the restaurant chair because your natural faith said, I know that this chair is going to hold me in this restaurant. So you pull the chair out and you sit down. That's a natural faith. When you get on an airplane, you don't go and find out who's flying the plane. You don't go up there to see the pilot credentials. You don't know if it's a monkey up there or a gorilla up there flying the plane. You don't know who's flying the plane. A lot of times you don't know unless the pilot is standing right there when you aboard the plane and greets you or things of that nature. Sometimes that does happen, but majority of the time you don't know who's flying this plane. So that's a natural faith. You get on the plane, and your faith says that whoever's in that pilot, whoever piloting this plane, I trust them that they can fly this plane, that they can get me from point A to point B safely. You know, that's a natural faith. And we exercise that natural faith on a daily basis. But there's another thing that's called supernatural faith. And supernatural faith is different from a natural faith. So we all have a natural kind of faith. But the natural faith has limitations. It has limitations. Faith that has no limitations in God can be seen in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. This is a very wonderful chapter in the book of Acts. And I want to define and emphasize the difference between natural faith and this faith that I'm going to read about beginning in the 16 verse of Acts chapter 26, verse 16 through 18, it says, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Is it that faith of Paul? No, this is not faith of Paul. It is the faith that the Holy Spirit is given. We may have much revelation of a divine plan of God through the gift in the Lord's order, and when he speaks to us, we begin operating in these gifts. But the only way you operate in the gifts of God is by a supernatural faith. Only way you operate in the gift of healing, it takes a supernatural faith to operate in the gift of healing. The Bible is clear. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. When you got saved, that's a saving faith. You was not there when Jesus was crucified. But the Bible tells us that. So it's our faith that believes in what the Word of God says. That's what we standing on by faith. It's what the Word of God says. We wasn't there 2,000 years ago. We didn't witness it with our own eyes. But we believe by faith that what the Bible says is true, that Jesus died for your sins. That's a saving faith. God gives us gifts. And to be able to walk in those gifts, it takes a supernatural kind of faith to believe what God said in his word is going to come to pass. We must believe. God said you're going to be healed. You must believe. But it takes a supernatural faith in God to believe that you're going to receive the healing. Your body might not seem like it's going to be healed. The doctor report saying that you're not going to be healed. But you know beyond a reasonable doubt that your faith is in God and God only. Not in what the medical report says, not in what the doctor's report says, but what the Bible says. That's what your faith is in. It's in what the Word says. The Word says, cast all your cares on God. Do you believe that by faith? Do you believe that all your cares of this world can be cast upon God? Do you believe that? You can't believe that with natural faith, because the natural said, I can't see me getting out of this situation. I don't understand how I'm going to make it. I don't know where my deliverance is going to come from. I don't know where my help is going to come from. But by faith, I believe. We have to believe by faith. Come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith come by hearing. Once you hear the word of God, then you can walk in that faith. You can walk in that promise that God has promised you in his word. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus is the word. He said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In the beginning was the word. Jesus is the word. So by faith come by hearing. That's why it's so important that you read the word of God, to get this word down in the inside of you. So when situations, when storms and triumphs and things of that nature come against you, the word that's on the inside will come up and give you that assurance of who you are in Christ. It will give you that insurance. I see here just a touch of the gift where Paul, through the revelation and the opener, opened the door that was given to him on the way to Damascus. He saw his faith and his salvation. You know what I'm saying? Paul, at one time, his name was Saul. He used to persecute Christians. He used to put decrees to get Christians killed. But by faith, he received Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus. He had an encounter with Jesus. And my question is tonight, have you had an encounter with Jesus? Do you believe who Jesus really is? Do you believe that? He's the only one can give you that peace, the peace that you're yearning for. You think your peace is in your job. You think your peace is in your finances. You think your peace is in your materialistic. No, that's only temporary happiness. That's only temporary satisfaction. Peace is everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. Me and my wife was having a discussion, and we was talking about how people say, I'm so tired, and I'm so stressed out, and she was like, but they said they had 8 hours of sleep, and they went to bed on time. I said, but baby, they don't have peace. There's a difference than going to sleep and having peace, and going to sleep and not having peace. If you catch yourself all the time, no matter how many hours a day you sleep, you always get up, you're tired. No matter what, you're always tired, you drain. That's because while you're sleeping, peace, your mind is racing. You know what I'm saying? Your mind is racing, and your body might be asleep at that particular time, but your mind is racing, and while your mind is racing, your body can't get the proper rest. Because there's a battle going on within your mind. You don't have no peace. There's no peace in your mind. You worry about a situation. You worry about someone or something that happened. So when you lay down and go to sleep, there's no peace. You went to bed with no peace. So when you sleep, you don't have no peace. So you wrestling in your sleep, whether you know it or not, and you get up, you're so tired, you drain, because you've been at war all night in your mind. You've been at war all night in your mind, battling whatever's going on in your mind, whether it's health reasons, a marriage situation, kids, job, finance, whatever it may be that has you at war with it, you will never have peace. That's why it's so important before you go to sleep, you pray and you give it all, whatever you've been going through throughout that day, you give it to the Lord and you ask God to give you a peaceful night of rest. We have to pray before we go to sleep and ask God to give us that peace before we lay down. You've been dealing with the kids, you've been dealing with your spouse, you've been dealing with your health, you've been dealing with the job, you've been dealing with society, you've been dealing with family members and all this other stuff. Now you can't all that stuff to bed with you. We have to give it to God. Give it to him, release it, cast it upon him, and ask God to give you that peace. And I guarantee you when you go to sleep and when you wake up, you're going to be refreshed and you're going to feel better. Because you gave it all to God. But if you don't give it to God, you're going to go to sleep with it and you're going to wake up with it. So I pray that what was said tonight has encouraged someone. I thank everyone for being patient. We usually only go for an hour, but like I say, this is God's show. It's not my show. And whatever God wants to do, I allow him to do it through me and through anyone else. And but I pray that this was an encouragement. If your mic was open, and once you got through talking, Willie always closed the mics because I want to keep all the background noise down to a bare minimum. So if your mic was open at one time, if you want to talk again, you got to press the one button again. Take yourself out the queue and put yourself back in. I think that's how I go. And Willie would see that your hand is up if you want to speak again for your takeaway. If anybody got any takeaways before we go into our prayer and a selective song from my lovely wife tonight. So if anyone got any takeaways on what was said tonight, press the one button, and Willie will open your mic up, and we're going to continue on with the show, with this prayer, with a song, and then we close out with another prayer, and that would be the end for the show. I want to make an announcement. I don't know what Willie's plans is for next week. But I would not be on the show next week. We both will be in Holly Springs, Mississippi. I don't know if Willie going to be back in time. I don't know if he's coming back for Sunday, you know. But I would not be. I'll probably be on the highway on my way back from Mississippi next week. So to my knowledge, I haven't discussed this with Willie, but we'll make a post up and we'll keep everybody informed on Facebook. If the show is going to
Brother
be
Mike,
on next week. Yeah.
Brother Mike.
Yeah.
Brother Mike, sorry to interrupt you, but you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We both will be down there in Mississippi we'll both be there. I got to be there all the way to Sunday. So you are right. And pray for us and travel mercy and for good weather and everything, man, because like I said, you taking a trip to the racetrack, it's not a trip away from what you do. It's just a trip because, like I said, sometimes your batteries need recharge too, brother.
Amen, amen. Like I said, it's going to be an opportunity for me to meet a lot of people that be on the show that I haven't met personally. I go there and I pray with brothers and I meet brothers and sisters that support this show. So it's ministry. It's ministry work for me, the foremost. The racing is secondary, but the ministry is foremost for me, because I want to meet some of you all that listen and support this show every week. You know what I'm saying? So this is another opportunity to meet some new faces. You know, I hear you all on the show every week, so it's an opportunity for me to meet a lot of you all and allow the ministry to continue to flourish, you know, and put the voices with the faces. So that's always a blessing to me, and have a one-on-one conversation with you all is always a blessing as well. So it's like I said, it's ministry work for me. You know what I'm saying? It's truly a blessing. The racing is secondary, but the ministry is the most important. So continue to keep us up in prayer as we travel to Mississippi this weekend is coming up, and that God will continue to have his way, that he will continue to be glorified through us while we're at the race, and that he will get the glory and the honor no matter what the races, who win or who loses, that God will continue to get the glory, and that we will continue to be mindful and praying for the families of all these races that's going to be hitting the highway, because this is a really, it turned out to be a really, really big race. And so we wanted to keep all the families and the loved ones up in our prayers, and continue, you prayer warriors, continue to keep us in prayer as well. So we will continue the following week. So we won't be on next Sunday. We will be on the following Sunday. But we pray that everyone have a blessed week. I will put something up through the week, some spiritual food that will encourage you all throughout the week, that will allow you to hold on to something to the following week. And but y'all continue to be blessed. And saying that, anybody got any takeaways before we go into our final prayer and our final song? Anybody got any takeaways?
Well, brother Mike, I didn't want to steal the beans because maybe you didn't do it yet, but that thing, what we was talking about behind the scenes, to get with Sister Jen and maybe do a little prayer thing in the mornings on some of these weekdays, just for, I don't know, did you ever thought about that or not yet?
No, I'm praying, asking God, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to ministry, you know what I'm saying, I go before God, so I haven't heard nothing from God yet, so when I do, you'll be the first to know.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Thank you. All right. No more hands up. Nobody hit the button button. I hope y'all understood what Brother Mike was saying. I close all the mics, and then if you want to get back in, all you do is hit them and take yourself out and put yourself back in, and I'll see you. So, Brother Mike, we have no more hands up right now.
Amen, 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 amen. We're going to go into prayer, and then after the prayer, I'm going to have my wife to bless the show with an A selection. A song, and we gonna. That's how we gonna move forward. We're gonna go to prayer, and then after prayer, my wife will bless the song, and then after that, we'll do another closing prayer, and then that'll be it for the night. But we appreciate your patience. We appreciate everybody supporting. Appreciate all the new callers that's listening tonight, and it's truly an honor and a blessing to have you to support this show. It means a lot to us. It really does. You know that God is getting the glory and the honor out of this. Out of this show. So that's what it's all about. It's about God. That's it. Okay, we ready. Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we bless you and we magnify you and we exalt you, Father, for who you are. You are God and you're God all by yourself. And we thank you, Father God, for making a way out of no way. And we thank you, Father God, for just showing up and showing out in our life on a daily basis. We thank you for your mercy and your amazing grace, your loving kindness, and even your compassion. And, Father God, we thank you, Father God, for all the listeners that's listening tonight. We thank you for their families. We thank you for every child, every marriage that's represented on this show in Jesus' name, that you will continue to put a hedge of protection over all our listeners and all our supporters, Father God, in Jesus' name, that no weapon formed against us or our family shall prosper, that every tongue that rises up against us in judgment shall be condemned, and we come against the enemy and all his attacks and all his schemes and scams in Jesus' name. Father God, we lift up Sister Glenda Smith, Father God, who's in the hospital right now. The doctor's trying to find out what's going on with her, her body, Father God. And we pray, Father God, that you will work it out for her good. We pray that you will continue to touch, heal, and deliver her in Jesus' name. And Father God, we pray for peace for Sister Glenda, that you will give her that peace that surpasses all understanding, that the joy of the Lord will continue to be her strength. Father God, I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing behind the scenes in her life, Father God. I thank you for her family, her husband, her children, and her mother-in-law, Father God, for their support, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father God, you said you took all of Glenda's infirmities and you bore her sickness, and by Jesus' stripes, she's already healed. So by our supernatural faith, I believe, Father God, that you have healed her already in advance in Jesus' name. So, Father God, I thank you, Father God, for Brother Butchie and him. And his entire family, Father God, his brother, his mom, and his siblings, and nieces and nephews, Father God. I ask you to continue to comfort this family in the loss of Butchie's son, Ryan, Father God. I ask you to comfort Butchie and his family, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I ask you to continue to give him the tears of joy, Father God, of all the 35 years that Ryan was a blessing to him and his family, Father God, all the great memories, Father God, all the fatherhood memories, Father God, that he can hold on to that, Father God, that he can draw his strength from that, Father God. But most of all, he will draw his strength from the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, that the joy of the Lord will continue to be his strength, Father God. I thank you for making a way out of no way. I thank you for healing Brother Butchie, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing behind the scenes in his life, in the life of his family, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father God, for all the support he has been getting, all the condolences and the encouragement he's been getting, Father God, since this tragedy, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray for my brother Willie, Father God. I thank you for what you're doing in his life, Father God. I thank you for allowing him, Father God, to be that example in the earth realm. I thank you, Father God, for girding his tongue, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for speaking to his heart, Father God, for giving him a mind of Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, even in his shortcomings, even when he falls short, Father God, that he would get back up, ask for forgiveness, Father God, and ask you to strengthen him in those areas that he's struggling in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for his maturity in you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that he would know beyond a reasonable doubt who he is in Christ Jesus, Father God, that he would get that revelation that the same spirit that raised Jesus on the third day is the same spirit that dwells in his heart. So, Father God, we thank you right now for our brother Willie. We thank you, Father God, for his soul. We thank you, Father God, for his life. We thank you for his health, Father God. We thank you for making a way out of no way. We thank you for a hedge of protection, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for being that bridge over troubled water, that lily of the valley, that bread of life in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for a hedge of protection. We ask that the angels of war will camp over his dwelling place, will watch over him as he travels up and down these highways in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will continue to give him favor, Father God, in everything he do and say, Father God, that everything he touch will be blessed, Father God. Everywhere he go will be blessed, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that he will be that light, Father God, in this dark world, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we pray for this nation. We pray that everyone will exercise their right to vote, Father God. We pray, Father God, that when November comes, Father God, everyone will get up off their couch and will go and exercise their right, Father God, to vote, Father God. There were so many people that died for this right, Father God. There's so many people that made sacrifices for this right to vote, Father God. So we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, come November, Father God, that men and women, boys and girls will go out and exercise their right to vote, no matter who they're voting for, Father God. Father God, let them exercise the right to vote, Father God, because a lot of people lost their lives and a lot of people sacrificed for us to be able to have the right to vote, Father God. So we pray that this nation will stand up, Father God, this country will stand up like never before, Father God, and go out and do the right thing, Father God, and ask you, Father God, who do you want them to vote for, Father God? And whoever they vote for, allow them to have the peace, Father God, that the decision they make, Father God, will be the right decision, that they can live with whatever decision they make in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. It's not about popularity, Father God. It's not about who like who, Father God. It's about doing the right thing. So, Father God, we pray, Father God, for this country and this nation, Father God, they will exercise their right to vote come November, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray for my brother Dave, Father God, who I talk to on a regular basis, who having some back issues, Father God. I pray that you will touch and heal and deliver his back right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will realign and restore, Father God, his back, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will touch him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, from his innermost to his outermost being, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. I pray that you will, Father God, do a new thing in his life, Father God. You will continue to watch over him, keep him safe, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. You will continue to allow God to move through his life, Father God, on a daily basis in Jesus' name. I thank you for our friendship. I thank you for what you're doing in his life, even behind the scenes, even the things that he don't understand or can't comprehend right now, Father God. I thank you for being God and God all by yourself in his life in Jesus' name. Father God, I lift up Brother Jimmy Hayes, Father God. I pray for his health, Father God. I pray that you will touch and heal and deliver him also, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, that you will work a miracle in Jimmy's life, Father God. You will do a new thing in his life, Father, in Jesus' name, Father God. Whatever the illness may be, Father God, whatever the sickness may be, I know that you are a healer. I believe what your word has said, Father God, that you have took all his infirmities, you bore his sickness, and by the stripes of Jesus Christ, Jimmy Hayes is healed, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father God, that you will be glorified through his life. I pray, Father God, you will be glorified through his healing, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank you for my mom. I thank you for bringing her a mighty long way. I thank you, Father God, for delivering her. I thank you, Father God, for continuing to encourage her, Father God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, for all the listeners on the air tonight, Father God. I thank you for every family that's represented, every child that's represented, every marriage that's represented in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the racing community. I pray, Father God, that you will continue to be glorified even in this circular world, Father God, even in the racing community, that you will be glorified, Father God, that they will not acknowledge that you are God and God all by yourself, Father God, and let all the Christians and all the believers, Father God, be that an example in the racing community, Father God, that they would look at us and see Jesus, Father God. They would look at us and, Father God, to be able to see what Jesus wants them to be, Father God, but because of our lifestyle, Father. So we thank you, Father God, for the racing community. We pray peace. We pray for a hedge of protection. We ask that the angels of the living God would camp around this racing community, Father God, up and down the highways as we travel this week that's coming up, Father God. A lot of us are going to Mississippi this week, Father God. So we pray for a hedge of protection. We ask you to make every crooked path straight. We bind any incidents or accidents, any bad weather, tornadoes. We bind any bad weather, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you to keep our families and our loved ones safe, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for every team member, Father God. We pray that every team member will continue to keep each other in prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for all the men and women that's driving these rigs, Father God, that's traveling up and down these highways hours and hours at a time, that you would keep them alert, Father God. You would give them wisdom, Father God. When the body gets tired, they will pull over and get some rest. We pray for the owners of Holly Springs Motorsport Park. We pray for the promoters, 901 Whitney. We pray for the promoters of this race as well, Father God, that you will be glorified, Father God, in this race, Father God, that this race will be not like no other race, Father God, when it comes to you being glorified in the name of Jesus Christ, that souls will get saved at this race. People's lives will be changed. People will get delivered and healed, Father God, even at the racetrack, Father God, that you will get the glory and the honor, Father God, that you will use your children in the earth realm, Father God, that you will move on their behalf, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't let no one be ashamed of the gospel, Father God. Let everyone have the boldness, Father God, to tell someone about the goodness of Jesus Christ. So, Father God, I thank you for equipping all the saints that's going to this race, Father God. I thank you for equipping them and giving them a word for someone to be encouraging to someone in the name of Jesus Christ. So we give you all the honor. We give you all the glory and all the praise of what you're doing. And, Father God, whoever's traveling this week coming up, we know our brother Charles is traveling to Georgia for a wedding. So we ask you to camp your angels over the airways as he fly to Georgia to be with his family, Father God, to celebrate a wedding, Father God, of his niece in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will travel with Charles, Father God, and go before him and continue to make him safe as he gets on the plane and deliver him safe to Georgia and deliver him back to Indiana in the name of Jesus Christ, that no weapon formed against anyone that's traveling this week shall prosper, that every tongue that rise up against us in judgment shall be condemned. We counsel every assignment of the enemy. We bind all the backlash and retaliation from the north, south, east, and west. We override and we overrule all the plans, plots, schemes, and devices in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for what you're doing right now. We give you all the honor, glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Let everyone say amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Sister Hill.
All right, Brother Mike. Okay, let me open my mic. Let me open to. Where did she go to? She was on here. She vanished on me, Mike. Oh, there she come back now. I don't know what she. Okay, just to hear your mic.
I'm here. Okay, thank you. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me, Jehovah Rapha. You're my healer. By your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me. You supply all my needs. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. You are more than enough for me.
Amen, amen, amen. Jehovah Jireh, our provider, you are more than enough for us. You are more than enough.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for tonight's show. We thank you. We bless you. We magnify you. We thank you for who you are, God. So, God, I ask you to continue to encourage us to do better. I ask you to encourage us to continue to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways we will acknowledge you, that you shall direct our path. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing in each and every one of our lives, Father God. Father God, we have a lot of unspoken prayer requests tonight. There are some people that's crying out, Father God, behind the scenes. And, Father God, we ask you to meet them where they at, Father God. We ask you to meet their needs, Father God. We ask you to show up in their life, Father God. Allow them to see how powerful of a God you are, Father God. Allow them to see that you are more than enough, that you have an inheritance for them, Father God, that they can trust and believe in you, Father God. So, Father God, we ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that everyone will continue to have a blessed week, that you give everybody a peaceful night of rest, that we will rest in the arms of Jesus' bosom tonight, Father God, and every night here for, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you all the honor, glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, brother. Love you, brother.